the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 47 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring Nightfall's presentation of The Repossession. I am your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. As you can tell from the eerie music, this is October, in time for some more spooky stories. Featured in today's story is a man who was born as a conjoined twin. Now, we've all seen pictures and heard stories of conjoined twins, and some of the efforts to separate them, save them, or help them lead normal lives, whatever that means. You may have even followed the journey of Abby and Brittany Hansel on the Learning Channel, who have adapted quite well to being conjoined twins, and go to school, and drive, and most everything else. If you forgive me a little bit of an info dump, I also looked up a few facts regarding conjoined twins. Now, I'll try to keep it brief, but I thought that it was interesting and applies to today's story. According to the University of Maryland Medical Center, births of conjoined twins are quite rare. Conjoined twins occur once every 200,000 live births and face low chances of survival. Approximately 40 to 60% of conjoined twins arrive stillborn, and about 35% survive only one day. They face an overall survival rate of somewhere between 5% and 25%. Female siblings seem to have a better shot at survival than males. I know that is also the case with premature babies as well. The term Siamese twins comes in reference from a famous set of conjoined twins, Eng and Chang Bunker, who were born in Thailand, then called Siam, in 1811. However, this term is no longer considered appropriate or accurate. Thoracopagus twins, the most common type of conjoined twins, share a heart, which, depending on how closely they are joined, makes it nearly impossible to separate them and save them both. Now, I do want to set your mind at ease regarding this story in one respect, and that is that it does not dwell on the novelty or the appearance of conjoined twins as part of the horror. It focuses on more of an inner struggle. However, I should warn you that the story does contain some disturbing violence, and is not well suited for children or for anyone of a more squeamish nature. Now, come with me, and let's journey into guilt, blame, and dominance.
We're making the most fully developed human the world has ever seen.
But instead of just one perfect kid, Mom had the two of us.
Way to go, Mom.
Wrong. The embryo did split in two, but it didn't split equally. All the purity and strength went into Julius. All the crap that was left over went into what you see in the mirror every morning.
Whoa. You telling me I'm the crap?
Oh, this is not true,
well,
Vincent.
Wait a minute, Julius. I want to hear this. You telling me that I am the leftover crap, that I'm no good?
He's wrong.
Look at him.
You saying that I'm a side effect?
Falling, lost in the listening distance as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. When listening to tonight's story, you would be well advised to maintain full possession of your own particular faculties. The play by Arthur Samuels is called The Repossession.
Damn you. You died 30 years ago. Why couldn't you stay dead?
There was a debt to be paid, Robert. Something you owed me.
I owe you nothing.
Oh, yes, you do. And it's past you.
I'm not afraid of you anymore. Why should I be? You've destroyed everything I had.
Not everything, Robert. You still have something that rightfully belongs to both of us. I think you've had it long enough.
What? Oh, no, you can't mean...
Your heart, Robert.
No.
Our...
No.
The one we shared as babies.
No.
The heart you stole from me.
No.
I want it back, Robert. I want it back.
All right, let's have a reading. Pulse 120, blood pressure and respiration normal. Everyone ready, then? Are we ready?
Ready, Doctor.
Nurse?
Yes, Doctor.
All right, draw the sheet back. That's it. Now, you people up there in the observation booth, what you see here is a rather remarkable case of conjoined infants, commonly referred to as Siamese twins. Your textbooks will no doubt give you a statistical indication of the rarity of these occurrences.
Well, how could they even survive like that?
Many cases are remarkable in more ways than one. You should know that in most of such cases, only one twin, that is the autosite or host, is what we would call normal, while the other, the parasite, if you like, is more often than not grossly malformed. But here you see 20-month-old male twins, absolutely identical, both perfectly formed in every respect, except for the obvious. Look.
The obvious is right. It's just...
Will you shut up? I'm trying to take notes.
You can see where they're conjoined at the breastbone. The fusion isn't our problem. This is.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Come on, you're going to be a doctor,
as you
remember?
Can see, these twins share a single heart. Here it is, suspended outside both chest cavities. The heart's only protection is its pericardial sac. Obviously, both babies can't survive like this. So... I'm afraid we're left with a difficult choice.
Jesus.
One can live, but the other must die. There's no other way. All right, let's get started. What God has joined together, we now tear asunder. Sponge. There, that looks clean. Now, what's the problem, nurse? Are you ill?
No, doctor. It's just that...
Well?
They're both so healthy. How can you make a choice?
It has to be either or. Do you want to be relieved?
No. No, Doctor. I'm sorry. I'm ready.
All right, then. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
One can live, but the other must die. Die! Die!
Oh, oh.
Bob?
Oh, oh.
Honey, it's all right. Come on, wake up.
Oh.
It's only a dream. Come on, love.
God.
It's all right.
Oh, God, that was rough.
The same nightmare?
Yeah, with a slight variation. This time I was dying.
Oh, Bob, don't you think you've had enough of this?
What?
Well, you've been promising to see someone about this, remember?
All right, Beth.
No, it's not all right. Do you realize what you've been like these past few weeks? If I say a word to you, you practically bite my head off, and the children are so scared of you.
All right, Beth, will you just ease off? It's bad enough without...
Does that mean we can't talk about it? Subject closed as usual?
No. Just give me a chance to clear my head. I'm going to go take a shower.
Yeah, you really should clear your head, Bob. I mean, how long can this go on? I'm sorry, but I'm getting awfully fed up.
You
with
think I'm not? No, will you just... What in the name of hell? Beth, come here.
What is it?
Just get in here.
What now? Something else to complain about?
What is this? Your sick little way of getting back at me for last night.
Well, what are you talking about?
That.
Oh, my God. I hate you. What does it mean?
Oh, you know damned well what it means. And how subtly you express it in lipstick right across the mirror. I hate you.
Are you suggesting I wrote that?
Who else? It's your lipstick, isn't it?
Are you blind? Look at the message.
I'm looking, damn it. And all I...
Can't you see? It's in your handwriting.
All right, Mr. Stroud, I think I have the picture. You've been having a recurrent nightmare, obviously related to the separation and death of your twin 30 years ago.
Yes, but the nightmare only began a few weeks ago. Why, after all these years?
Oh, any one of a number of things might have triggered it. Anxiety, guilt.
Guilt? Why should I feel guilty? I told you, Dr. Benner, we were babies. I had nothing to do with the choice.
No, of course not. But the unconscious doesn't differentiate between what you were or were not responsible for.
I don't understand.
Well, I'll give you the classic example. Two soldiers, friends or brothers, are caught in enemy crossfire. Now, one lives and the other dies. The one who survives is glad, naturally, and yet he feels guilty. Uh-huh. Misinterprets his feeling to mean he's glad his companion died. Do you see?
I think so, but... What about that message on the mirror this morning? Can you explain that?
Well, I can try. How you were somnambulist, Mr. Stroud?
A what?
Do you walk in your sleep?
No. But even if I did, are you saying I got up in my sleep last night, walked into the bathroom, picked up my wife's lipstick, and wrote, I hate you, across the mirror?
I'm saying it's possible, particularly since you tell me the message was in your own handwriting.
But it wasn't exactly.
How do you mean?
I'm left-handed. My handwriting slants to the left, but the writing on the mirror slanted to the right.
That is curious. Tell me, Mr. Stroud, may I call you Robert?
Sure.
What do you make of it?
I don't know. But I can't help thinking that...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It sounds crazy, but... That Douglas is somehow responsible for all this.
Douglas? Your twin brother.
I told you he was crazy.
No, not crazy. It's just illogical. Your brother Douglas is dead, Robert. He died 30 years ago, and the dead do not come back, except in our fearful imaginations and dreams.
So
Robert, is something wrong? Are you feeling ill?
No. No, I just... Oh, God, I must be crazy. I'm even beginning to hear things.
Now, I doubt that. You're distraught, and that's all. Yeah, look, here's what I suggest for the moment. I'll give you something to help you sleep at night.
And what about the days? I can't work. I can't even think right now.
Then why not take the day off? You told me you're a tennis buff. Maybe a little exercise is just what you need to work off some of that tension.
Oh, oh, Bob, I don't believe it. You beat me.
And about time, isn't it? You've been clobbering me for years.
Yeah, but I've never seen you play like this. And that last cross-court smash, whew, it was weird.
Weird?
Yeah, you played a double grip, right-handed.
No, you must be mistaken, Ted.
I tell you, you played your best shots right-handed. You've always been left, haven't you? Bob? Bob, what's the matter? You just turned white as a sheet. Are you okay?
Yeah.
You sure?
I said I'm all right. Come on, let's head for the showers, huh?
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking, why don't you and I team up for that doubles tournament next month? I mean, if you just play the way you did today, we'd be unbeatable. Bob?
I'm left-handed, but the writing on the mirror is slanted to the right.
Douglas is dead, Robert. He died 30 years ago, and the dead do not come back.
Can't be.
What? All I said was that if you and I teamed
up... It's just not possible.
How much proof do you need?
Bob, for God's sake, will you watch where you're going? Nearly drove off the road. What the hell's the matter with you?
I don't know. I lost control of my right hand. As though... No, damn you, no!
Get out! You're trying to get us killed? Better pull over and let me drive. Bob, look out!
Oh, Ted, my God, what have I done?
You really did lose control, didn't you, brother?
Ted? Teddy, all right?
Yeah, no thanks to you. What the hell's the matter? I told you to let me drive.
It wasn't my fault.
I saw you wrenching at the wheel as though you were trying to drive us into the ditch.
No, you don't understand. I was trying not to. But he forced me.
He? Who are you talking about?
It was him. Douglas. It's been Douglas all along.
Hey, Bob, I don't think you know what you're saying. Your head. You must be hurt.
No. Ted, listen. Believe me.
Now take it easy. Let me drive you home, okay?
Yes, Robert. Let's both go home.
Ted, come in.
Only for a moment. I can't stay, Beth. Got to pick up Lori at school. But I was worried about Bob. Is he okay?
I don't know. I'm afraid, Ted. Something's happening to him, and I don't know how to handle it.
Oh, easy now. Easy. Where are the kids?
I sent them over to my mother's. I didn't want them to see him like this. They'll stay with her overnight.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Where's Bob now?
In the study. He's locked himself in with a bottle. He won't even talk to me.
Let me try.
No, Ted, it's no use. I've already called Dr. Brenner. He was out, but his answering service said he'd check in any minute.
Doctor? What kind of a doctor?
psychiatrist. Bob went to see him this morning.
Damn. I knew something was wrong. You sure you don't want me to talk to him, Beth? Somebody should.
Don't you think I've tried?
Yeah, I know. I just meant I could call the school and arrange for Laurie to...
No. You go ahead. Dr. Brenner should be here soon. Ted, I'm beginning to wonder if I need a psychiatrist.
What do you mean?
Just before you arrived, I went to the study door. I heard Bob talking.
To himself?
I'm not sure, and yet I could swear I heard two distinct voices. I know it doesn't make any sense, but...
Come now, Robert. Do you really think drinking will make me go away?
Yes. You're dead, damn you.
And you're alive. And you'd like to keep it that way, wouldn't you?
Why have you come back?
I've never left you, Robert. After all, we are twins. Inseparable.
We were separated by surgery. You died.
Yes, I died. Do you think that was fair, Robert? I had every bit as much right to live as you.
We were babies. It wasn't my decision. How can you blame me?
Oh, I don't blame you, Robert. I hate you.
Why? What have I done?
You've lived. I watched you grow to be happy, successful. You've had it all. With nothing but that scar on your chest to remind you that I ever existed. That you owe it all to me.
I owe you nothing. I'm glad they chose me to live and you to die, Brother Douglas. And I'm going to make sure you stay dead, damn you.
And how do you plan to manage that?
My will's as strong as yours. I'll fight you. and I'll defeat you.
I don't think so, Robert. I've had plenty of time to observe you all these years. I know your weaknesses. I can destroy you whenever I choose. But there's a happier alternative.
What do you mean?
You had a demonstration of that today. On the tennis court, remember? You're a mediocre player. On your own. Together, well. You saw the result.
I don't want to win that way. With you.
The point is, we won, didn't we? Think of the possibilities, Robert. Two minds, two wills combined. We could do anything.
I don't want it. I'll shut you out.
You managed that for 30 years. But no more. Now I'm part of you, Robert.
Leave me alone, damn you.
Oh, you're upset. Why don't you pour yourself another drink? Yes, that's it. But let's use your right hand, Robert. I said your right hand.
No.
There. That's better.
What do you want?
Half, Robert. Half of everything you are, everything you have, everything you do. Share and share alike. Isn't that the way it should be between twin brothers?
You're dead. Stay dead.
No way. I shall live through you, my dear brother. Breathe, move, share your pain, your joy. And when you make love to Beth...
No way. I'll kill myself first. Kill us both.
Why couldn't let you do that, Robert? Besides, from now on, our life together will be much more interesting. We'll have that certain edge.
Thank you.
given him a sedative. He'll sleep for a couple of hours at least.
And when he wakes up?
I hope he'll respond to treatment.
Treatment for what?
Acute paranoid schizophrenia.
You mean he's insane?
I don't use that word, Mrs. Stroud, and neither should you. Robert is displaying the classic signs of a very disturbed, even psychotic personality.
Are you sure? What about Douglas?
Well, what about Douglas? If you're talking about Robert being possessed by the spirit of his dead twin, forget it. We're going to rid him of that delusion once and for all.
How?
I'd like you to go out for a few hours. Leave me alone with him. I'm going to try hypnosis. It may work.
God, I hope so.
Mrs. Stroud, Beth, I do know what I'm doing. Understand?
Yes.
Good. Now, I want you to tell me who you are, your full name.
Robert Stephen Stroud.
Right. Now, once long ago, you had a twin brother. What was his name?
Douglas. Douglas Duane Stroud.
Mm-hmm. What happened to Douglas? He died, didn't he?
No. Yes.
Yes. Douglas died 30 years ago. Douglas does not exist. I want you to say it, Robert. Douglas does not exist.
Douglas does not.
Douglas does not exist. Say it.
But how can he say it, Herr Doctor? Obviously, I do exist.
No, don't do that, Robert. You're disguising your voice and playing a role, and I want you to stop it.
I'm trying.
Can't you see how hard he's trying, Herr Doctor?
Will you stop it, you hear? You don't exist.
Oh, really? Then why are you speaking to me?
I wasn't. Robert, now please, listen to me.
Yes, listen to him, Robert. He's confused, you see. His tiny little medical mind can't accept that my words are coming out of your mouth, that I exist in you. Well, why don't we give him some proof, Robert?
No. No!
Do it, Robert.
You hit me!
Who hit you, Herr Doctor? He, Robert, or I, Douglas? Or both? Not sure? Well, why don't we try it once more?
No, Robert, for God's sake! I order you to listen to me!
He orders us, Robert. Well, I think it's time for lesson number two. Let's call it one and one equals two.
Robert.
A simple exercise in physics. So simple that even you will understand, Herr Doctor.
No, Robert, don't let him
one
take...
One plus one. My will plus Robert's will gives his right hand the strength of two.
Get your hand away from my throat, will you? Let go! No!
Together now, Robert. Later. There. Good work, Robert.
What happened? What have I done?
Oh, we have removed an obstacle. Now, let's get rid of it completely.
What?
Get rid of the body. Come on, you better hurry. We have so many other things to do, Robert. You and I.
Yes, Douglas.
Doctor, it's Beth. I'm back. Dr. Brenner, are you...
Beth?
Oh, Bob, you frightened me. What...
Shh. Don't say anything. Come in here. Please hurry.
Bob, what's happening?
We've got to act quickly while he's asleep.
Dr. Brenner?
No. Douglas.
Oh, Bob, please.
Even Douglas has to sleep. Beth, this may be our only chance. Here, I brought this up from the basement.
Oh, my God. Bob, what do you want with an axe?
Beth, you've got to listen. Dr. Brenner is dead.
Oh, dear God.
Well, Douglas made me kill him. He's got control of my right hand. Douglas is taking me over. Beth, we've got to stop him.
Bob, you don't know what you're saying. You're ill.
You've got to help me.
But I don't understand. What do you want me to do?
I want you to take this axe and chop off my right hand. It's the only way.
What? Bob, you're insane.
No, Beth. Beth, this may be the last sane thing I ever do. Now take the axe, Beth, do it.
I can't.
Of course she can't, Robert.
You bastard.
How could she? A sensitive girl like Beth. No. We have another use for that axe. Pick it up, Robert.
No. Beth, run, for God's sakes, run!
That's it. Your right hand. Our right hand. Now, Robert.
Bob, what are you doing? Get away from me, Dono. Please, don't.
I can't hold back.
No. You've destroyed everything I had. Not everything, Robert. You still have something that rightfully belongs to both of us. I think you've had it long enough.
What? Oh, you can't mean...
Your heart, Robert.
No.
Our heart. The one we shared as babies. The heart you stole from me. I want it back.
And what would you do with it without me? Where would you put it? Your body turned to dust 30 years ago. Do you think I'm going to let you take over mine? I'd kill myself first, and you with me.
Oh, I suppose you would. So it comes down to a dog in the manger impasse.
What do you mean?
If I can't have our heart, neither can you, brother. So why don't we settle up? Once and for all.
No, you can't.
We can, Robert. Let's take our right hand.
Oh, no.
Direct it toward your chest. No. Why so?
No, please don't, Douglas. No.
Let's steal off.
No, God! No!
Just think, Father, the look on their faces when they see this and wonder how a man
You have just heard The Repossession by Arthur Samuels. Featured tonight was John Stocker in the dual role of Robert and Douglas Stroud, with Mary Peary as Beth, Chris Wiggins as Dr. Brenner, and Neil Daynard as Ted. John Granick was heard as the hospital surgeon, with Maggie Morris as the nurse, and Amanda O'Leary and David Stein as the medical students. Our recording engineer is John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson. Our script editors are John Douglas and Earl Toppings, with the production assistance of Nina Callahan. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell.
Wow. Talk about having an evil twin. But I did like how they left it open, at least to my mind, how you can choose whether it is Douglas causing Robert to do all these terrible things, or if it is all in the paranoid schizophrenic mind of Robert himself, brought on by survivor's guilt. Either way, not a good way to go out. But this story had me uneasy from the very beginning. I just hate it when kids are in danger, especially babies, so that scene with the doctor really got me sweating. And the question that was asked, how can you make a choice between which one lives and which one dies? I would never want to have to make a choice like that. You know, there was a time when my wife and I were struggling with having children, and we tried some fertilization techniques. And there came a point where the doctor started talking about in vitro and other similar things. And those processes don't really bother me so much in general. But when the doctor started talking about if there were multiple embryos that were fertilized, that we would need to go through a selection process if there were too many. And at that point, I was done. We didn't need to go any further than that. And as it turned out, we are now blessed with 4 wonderful children. So everything worked out fine. This story also reminded me of that episode of Love's Labor Lost on the first season of ER, when Dr. Green misdiagnoses a pregnant woman's delivery complication in the ER, and he has no outside support. And things went from bad to worse, and Dr. Green had to make some very hard decisions. And the baby's life was in jeopardy, the mother's life was in jeopardy. Man, I was completely worn out by the time that show was over. And I started to have echoes of that just in the first few minutes of this story. And that was way before Robert started killing people and then ripped his own heart out. You know, according to the website, The Nightfall Project, which is a website that I'll put in the show notes, and I encourage you to go check out if you enjoyed this episode of Nightfall. But this episode, among others, caused the CBC to receive hundreds of complaints, and some affiliate stations in Canada actually had to drop the series. And this was in 1980. So I'm not sure what that means, but you know, people didn't protest Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which showed Mola Ram ripping out hearts in the film. But, you know, I do think that hearing it rather than seeing it is actually more unsettling. And if you think about it, it is pretty gruesome. And I wouldn't want a steady diet of such things. Although I guess it is pretty reminiscent of Edgar Allan Poe, which is a fancy way to segue into reminding you that submissions are now open for the Edgar Allan Poe writing contest. You could submit your Edgar Allan Poe titled stories of 2,500 words or less to journeyintosubs@gmail.com. And those submissions are open until November 1st. And I look forward to your submission. I also look forward to hearing your comments on the forums regarding this story or any others. The forums can be found at journeyinto.freeforums.org. Well, I think that's good enough for this week. And I'm going to leave you now, so take care while I'm gone. And I'll be back next week with a double feature. So, safe travels as we begin this October, and journey on. The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means that you can share it with whoever you would like, but if you sell it or change it, I'll find a way to force you to rip out your own beating heart. Okay, maybe not. The theme music for this podcast today has been provided by Man in Space and Soundtracks for the Non-Existing Movies.